thing on. There we go. Time for Pastor Pals. Y'all come on down. Y'all head that away. Y'all behaving back there? Okay, y'all help me. What a crew. My goodness gracious. Here we go. Okay, everybody look around. Look around in the auditorium. Look at these people. See all the funny looking faces out there. Okay, I need you to find me your favorite color. Raise your hand. Anybody see a favorite color? Anybody got on a favorite color? Okay. Okay, y'all tell me. Green? One at a time. Woo! Where's the off switch? Okay. And what's your favorite color? That color there? Okay. Okay. Well, let me tell you God's favorite color. Okay. Look around here. Y'all have said all the colors, but God's favorite color. Have you ever thought about that? His favorite color. He may have more than one, but you know what his favorite color is? What color is my shirt? It's white. I may be looking at my jacket. Okay, but it's white. You know why? Because white means it's all clean. What if you get dirt on it? What will happen? It won't be clean anymore, will it? And you know what? God wants to take all the bad stuff we do and wash it clean with the blood of Jesus. And believe it or not, it works. It's awesome. Okay? And that's called being saved. Okay, everybody bow your head. Close your eyes. Miss Karen's got something special for y'all, so y'all got to be really good. So everybody bow your head. Shut your eyes. Dear Lord, I just thank you so much for this awesome crew that's here this morning. And Father, I know that you've got special blessings in store for them and their lives as they follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all did really good. Y'all walked slow. Head back there to Miss Karen. Y'all did awesome.
I believe Dana has our special this morning.
In and out of situations, that tug of war at me. All day long I struggle for answers that I need. Become clear, and for that sacred moment, no doubts can interfere. In the presence of God Almighty,
Awesome job. What an awesome song and message. Go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of Haggai. The way I pronounce it, Haggai, and has a different spelling in the Hebrew there. As we get there for just a little while, I want to again say to Promised Land Church, thank you so much for many of you do things for me and my family that sometimes goes unnoticed. You may not realize it, but there's just so many folks that help me and my family out. I'm so thankful for my wife, Karen. They drove over Friday night to hear me preach. Well, I don't know if they did it for that reason or not, but to come visit with us, and I appreciate that. We were driving back yesterday, and they had put me up in a hotel, the church did, and which is kind of, that's always a pro and a con to that. Pro, that's, you know, you're kind of relaxed and a little bit, you can do your own thing, and con to that is just don't quite get as much fellowship, but that's fine. And but I enjoyed the relaxing time together. They enjoyed, they definitely enjoy singing, enjoy preaching. They wanted me to preach, and they were going to be, they said, we're going to be offended if you don't give us the whole load, give us everything you've got. But there was a reason that they were saying that, because their song service, you know, lasted for normally an hour and 15 minutes to an hour and a half. And so they had started at 7, I'd get in the pulpit about 8:20. And but anyway, and they said, give us a hold. So I did, 40, 45 minutes, and would give it to them and preach real hard, and they loved it. And they'd get out at 9 o'clock and said, thank you, Jesus. And so I was very pleased at their attention. I need to call Brother Francis and tell him how proud everybody, they were locked in. They did really good. In other things, just people that help when I'm gone or out of town or out of pocket, I appreciate those who help out, Karen and Taylor and all the other ones, different ways. I just want to say thank you for that. Haggai chapter 1, verse 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Joshedech, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You've sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. And I just want to stop there. I know my text goes a little bit further, and we'll be referring to some verses. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Father, I just want to thank you for your word this morning. Your word means so much to us. I pray that if there's someone here this morning that needs to make a decision for you, your Holy Spirit is more powerful than anything that I've got to say. But I pray that your Spirit would take these words that we're going to be looking at this morning, and that if someone here needs to make a decision, they need to be saved, they need to rededicate their life, they need to get back on the right track, they need to turn around, they may be backslidden, they may need to repent of some things, they need to be restored unto you. Father, I pray that this morning would be that morning, that they would do that. In Jesus' name, amen. A bag with holes. This is similarly, I've talked before about a rut. Sometimes we, and all of you have got into a rut. I've given you the country boy definition of a rut before. All a rut is a grave with both ends knocked out. That's all it is a grave with both ends knocked out. I used to, I've owned 2 4-wheel drive pickups in my lifetime. Many of you have had 4-wheel drive. It doesn't matter whether you got a 4-wheel drive or not. I know that you're driving down a logging road, a dirt road, a muddy road, and always try, unless you've got one of those that's really jacked up or something, always try to stay out of the ruts, because you get down there, you may get high-centered or whatnot, and so try to stay out of the ruts. But have you ever noticed that whenever you get into on a muddy road or somewhere like that, and have you ever been on just out here on Highway 425, all these log trucks running up down the roads and it rains? You want to stay out of the ruts, because what's in those ruts? Water, and you don't want a hydroplane, and you can see it. I mean, it's as clear as day after a rain. But have you ever noticed, what a analogy, when you get in a rut and you start trying to turn to get out of it, whether it be muddy ruts or whatever, it wants to hold you back in. It's hard to get out of the ruts. The people of Israel they were rebuilding the temple under Zerubbabel, and many believe, and I think also, that, you know, Haggai, when he wrote this in 520 B.C., that he remembered Solomon's temple. It was destroyed in 586 B.C., and many people think that he remembered the glory of that temple. He was probably very old at this time. His contemporary prophet that came along was Zechariah, was much younger than him. And they were contemporaries, and they were talking about this time. They had to, matter of fact, when he started scolding the people here. I mean, have you ever, a lot of times, what's the old saying? A squeaky wheel gets the grease. Sometimes you have to squeak, and sometimes as a parent you got to squeak, and sometimes as a consumer you have to squeak and make some noise and get some people's attention. And sometimes as your pastor, I've got to preach in a way that would wake us up, that would revive us, so to speak, to get people stirred up and get out of the rut. So many times you're spinning your wheels. Some of you today, this morning actually, some of you are stuck in something. I don't know what you're stuck in. If there's something that has a hold of your life this morning, is there something that you'd like to break free from? And it could be just, I don't pray like I ought to. I'm in a rut of busyness. You could be just in a rut of busyness where you're so busy, you don't even talk to the Lord like you should have. These young preachers, man, they are inspiring me. Get that thing down a bit. I was, and I don't mind it at all. I've been trying to use my time constructively. I've got to take some more books tomorrow to seminary and prepare, maybe work on my Wednesday night lesson, Sunday sermon, my doctoral thesis, which is over halfway done. Taylor challenged me. She said, "Dad, graduate with me." Okay. She's graduating this year, big senior, so I'm going to try to graduate also and get that doctoral thing, just a piece of paper, but it's a lot of hard work. In that challenge, and you think about what they're, think about what they're going through, I tell you what, let me just go on to this. That last Monday night, my last class that I teach at seminary is over at 3 o'clock. Trey and Matthews and now Chip Wallace, up there at Star City, who surrendered to preach. Their last class is over at 7. So I've got 4 hours to kill, and so I was working on it, trying to get some things done. I was typing some stuff up, had my laptop and all. They come out of that last class. I thought they'd be dead tired. They came out of that last class shouting. They came out of that last class shouting. And I don't know, I'll find out after church today, but I got a text last night from Trey. He said, "I just led somebody to the Lord." And I don't know who it is. You can tell me afterwards. And that's awesome. That, and they come out of there. They was fired up. Trey put down on his deal. He said, "I wish every day was Monday." And he was so fired up. How long has it been since you've been fired up? Fired up for the Lord. Man. And I talked to our teachers. I was talking to some of y'all. Man, how's school? Well, it's going okay. I was, and I'm so thankful that Brother Jason, I was also talking to, let's see, he goes by Ben, doesn't he, Ben Carpenter? And I was talking to him. I said, "I'm so glad we have male teachers. I know we need male role models everywhere, and I hope and pray for them that they would really be a shining example to those young people that are teaching in upper elementary school." That's so needed. But you get humdrum. You're just looking forward to Friday. Oh, man, I just want to. Oh, Monday. Oh, no. You know why we don't? But sometimes we're that away with the Lord's work. Oh, we're here on Sunday. Oh, man, I just can't wait till the preacher finishes preaching. I just can't wait till that. Folks, they had laid the foundation to this temple, and it says they're going through life, they're filling their life is like an empty or a bag that they keep working and doing, and I'm just sitting here and I'm putting stuff into the bag of life, so to speak, and it's a bag that's empty because it's a bag with holes in it. I pastored I pastored First Baptist Church over there in Texas. And they had the building that I was pastor in. They put the foundation, they built the foundation, waited for the concrete. And they were humdrum about it. The forms sat up there because the people were so worried and scared about stepping out on faith that the foundation forms sat there but without concrete for so long that the forms got termites in them. I mean, just sitting there, they were scared to pour the concrete because it entailed spending money, and they were scared, and the forms nearly rotted down before they did that. Here, the house is lying in waste. The foundation is there, but the temple's not put up. It's been 14, 17 years, and or whatever the number was, and it's just sitting there, and they're not doing anything with God's house. And many of us in our own lives, we're just sitting still. The preacher Haggai started preaching. They finished it 4 years later. They finished it 4 years after he delivered this message. A bag with holes. My life is not futile. Turn, if you will, to John chapter 15. And let's see what it takes. Living without Christ, the first point is, living without Christ is like trying to fill a bag with holes. This tells you, this particular passage of Scripture tells you how to live with Christ in your life. John 15:1 says this, I am the vine, the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean. Here's how you get clean in life, spiritual life. Through the word which I have spoken unto you, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. The key to this, and I put it there, to abide in Christ means you're filled with the Spirit. To abide in Christ means we allow Jesus to lead. To abide in Christ means we obey God's Word. And to abide in Christ means we bear spiritual fruit. And looking at all this saying is that I'm saved. And if you say you're saved and you love Jesus, you're going to act like it outside these four walls. Think about it. As Dana was getting up singing that song, I've heard others in our church sing it before, and the message in that song is so powerful. And boy, I was sitting there, I was being ministered to by the choir. And the choir special was awesome. Take this with a grain of salt. I don't care if all of you got nothing. I know it's double negative, I don't care. And so out of the choir, it was all for me. If it was just for me, it was worth it. Because the songs really spoke to my heart this morning. And folks, that's what you need to come to church for. Preacher, I come to church. I want to hear a word from the Lord. I want God to speak to me. Folks, don't leave here with an empty bag. Don't leave church and say, I came to church and I didn't get anything out of it. Maybe because your bag's full of holes. And you're carrying the wrong bag. And life is that way. And I'm not getting anything out of life. And life has no meaning anymore because I go to work on Monday and can't wait till Friday because you're in a rut. Now, I'm not saying you can't have days where you don't enjoy work or you had a hard day at work. But you have to look back and say, what is the meaning of it all? Why am I coming to church? Because, folks, this is like Steve said in Sunday school. He said, I need my batteries recharged, Brother Michael. I come to church and I want a dose of electricity, spiritual energy. According to this, it only comes from abiding in Christ. Have you ever got bad gas in a vehicle or lawnmower or something? That just throws everything off. Nothing runs right. Y'all were telling me one time, didn't Brother Kenny up here have some sort of fainting spell or something up here at church? Jeff told me because he was trying to lose some weight and he didn't eat anything that morning. I ate some frosted flakes with my coffee this morning. I wanted to have some energy to preach. What are you putting in your tank? Spiritually, are you empty? Next part. Now I'm going to refer to all these scriptures, I hope. So I've got to keep my finger here because one of them is John 16. I'm going to flip back over here. I've got my marker here. I'm going back to Haggai chapter 2. This is very important. Haggai had a prophecy concerning the future temple site. The future, you know, they're building a temple over there. And you can still see some of the foundation walls and or the walls and just very little of it left. But in Haggai, now looking for joy and peace in the world. Some of you, whenever those, boy, I tell you what, wasn't that a passel of kids up here this morning? I don't know if Miss Karen has any peace over there. I don't know if anyone's helping her, but man, having a bunch of kids, there's very little peace. Maybe when they're all asleep. I remember going to school when there's still nap time. I don't remember if they still have that. I'd go back to school just for nap time. But nowadays, there's no peace apart from the Lord. In Haggai chapter 2, in verse 9, it says, "The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former." And in this place, and folks, right now, there's no peace. I know what's over there. I've been over there. Miss Frances has been over there just a jillion times, and there's no peace over there right now. But the Bible says here, in this place will I give peace, says the Lord. Now, that's where the Lord's, that one day Jesus is coming back, and He's gonna rule the world from that very place. He's going to rule the world, and that's going to be during the millennial reign. And it'll be a time of peace like the world has never known. But until that day comes, let me ask you, do you have peace in your heart? I'll get to those other scriptures in just a second. Here's a big question. If my vehicle's not running right, I've got to figure out what the problem is. If it could be, I mentioned about bad gas. Could be a part problem. With you, instead of a part problem, it could be a heart problem. Now, if you don't have peace in your heart, let me ask you a very simple question. What causes you to have a life that's where there's no peace? Number one, sin causes a lack of peace. It also robs your joy. What is sin? Anything that we do against God. That's it. I sin. I sin every day. There's no one in this room above sin. I'm a sinner saved by grace. What else causes you to have a life or heart with no peace? Sin, yes. Number two, what about, now you could put all these maybe under sin, but I don't ever read the Bible as much as I ought to. I haven't been praying like I should. Oh, and get this, maybe when we pray, a lot of times, according to the book of James, we pray and we're only praying selfishly. You know, listen to this. I challenge you, I think I've challenged you this before, but it's okay. Have you ever prayed without asking God for a thing? Think about it. Have you ever prayed without asking God for anything? Just praise Him. Tell Him thank you. Lord, you have blessed me no matter above what I deserve. Is there somebody here this morning that you don't have peace because you've got problems at work, problems with your family, could be problems in your marriage, it could be problems with your kids or grandkids, it could be problems at school. I could keep going. problems rob peace. They do. But God is bigger than your problems. Did y'all hear me? God is bigger than your problems. I don't know, ever, it would probably overwhelm me if I knew everyone's problems here this morning. But I'm a limited country boy preacher. God is unlimited and no problem can overwhelm God. Okay? No problem can overwhelm Him. Say, God, I need You to help me. There was a lady and had been visiting that church, Midway in Glenwood there for 5 months, her whole family. She came to me after church one night, the pastor and the associate pastor were sitting in there, and they were waiting for me after I was visiting with this lady, and they had told me that, you know, she's got some things going on. She was visiting, and she just unloaded all sorts of these problems. She said, we finished about 30 minutes, she said, I'm sorry I unloaded. I said, well, you know what? That's what we all need to do at the feet of Jesus. Just unload. Take our problems to Him. I said, I don't mind listening at all. And you know what? I didn't have an answer for her. She had some tough situations. I didn't have an answer. I said, but God does. You know what the hardest part, though, is when you have problems and you don't know the answer? Waiting on God. That's one of the hard, because I guarantee you, I'm sure there's some people in here that's more patient than me, but most of us struggle with patience, don't we? Most of us struggle with patience. The other scripture, go ahead and go to John, back to John chapter 16 and verse 22. John 16 and verse 22. It says here, there we go. And now, you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say to you, whatsoever you ask of my Father in my name, He will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, and your joy may be full. And what this is saying, I need help with my problems. Okay, move on to verse 32. I'm in John 16, verse 32. The Word of God says this. Behold, the hour cometh, and yea, now is, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father's with me. These things, notice very clearly, folks, if you're having problems at work, if you're having family problems, if you're having marriage problems, if you're having any kind of problems, and there's no joy in your life anymore, there's no peace in your life, it says, ask what you will, but it says, ask in my Father's name. In other words, here's what I've got to do. First of all, is my heart, am I abiding in Christ? Now it's time to pray. Say, first of all, get your heart right with God, and then He says to pray. We won't pray selfishly if we're right with God. And then it says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me, notice it says, in me you shall have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. What an awesome promise. Of all these things, and I put there for you, I believe, the facts about this life, right now in this room, you're either having problems, or you know what? You're going to have problems. You're either going through a storm, or you will go through a storm. One of the two. The facts about the Lord is His joy and peace is found in prayer and the Word of God. And His offer still stands today. Lastly, in closing, Laying up treasures on earth is like trying to fill a bag with holes. Many people, that's all they're concerned about. I know of a church, one of our ABA churches, that has $250,000 stuck back in a CD. And they're saying, they're saving that for a rainy day. Well, send the flood, Lord. They said, well, we're giving all the interest to missions. Whoop-de-doo. $250,000. Now, how much good could you do to help missionaries with that? Say, and some people treat their own that away. Now, I want to say, I've bragged on you, and I don't care. I'm just going to wear you out, and y'all just get sick and tired of me saying it. Promised Land is a generous church. All of you, some of you give sacrificially. God knows. He knows your heart, and you're laying up treasures in heaven. We give to missions. And we're even praying about it. It was brought up in last business meeting to add on another one. And I praise the Lord for that. I think we can do it. We've got, I call it margin. We've got margin in our general fund. We've got margin in our, faith promise, which is 100% missions. And I thank the Lord for that we're able even to consider that. But folks, what it's about is how much of everything that you have, follow me, how much of everything you have does God deserve? He deserves all of it. He doesn't request all of it. How much do you own? You own nothing. You say, I've worked 40 years to get this place. I bought it. I paid for it. It's mine. Who gave you the brain power, the willpower, and the muscle power to even get what you have? It's all the Lord's. Just consider it His, and He's letting you take care of it for a while. Karen cried when Taylor went to her first day of school. And I like the way Taylor put it. She said, Dad, it was my last first day. I had to think about that a second. It was my last first day. I said, well, you got college. She said, that's college. This is school. Okay. I said, okay, I stand corrected. I've only got them for a little while. And then they grow up. They are the Lord's. One of the local pastors, and from what all it entails, get this. One of the local pastors came to me and said, Brother Michael, I want to have breakfast with you. I want you to see our new building. Boy, they have built a brand new building. It's nice. You know what they did with the other one? And there was a lot of reasons for it. It was going to take, to remodel it and do everything right, it was going to have to take $150,000 to get their other one up to date. Their other one was about up to date as it was built about 5 years older than this middle building we've got. This is built in the late 50s. And you know what they did? They shoved it down with a bulldozer and set a match to it. And there was two of the elderly people in the church that voted against it when they voted to do that. And they went through and they said, you know what? I don't want to see this building go. And the two older people in the church, they walked through that church building one last time. They walked through that church building one last time. And then they demolished it. Oh, we've got so many memories there. They didn't want to see it go. They built the new building, and I took a tour of it. It's nice. those two same people that voted against it that took the tour, they come up to the pastor and they said, "Pastor, we're so glad that we lived long enough to see this new building. Did you know all buildings were new at one time? And with no memories?" Folks, God is not about sealed houses and buildings and wood. If He takes this away from us, our service to God is not related to this building. We've got some nice facilities, but listen, He could take away this house. He could take away your house. He could take away anything you've got. Because if we look at this, if you look at what you've got, it's putting in a bag with holes. It's empty. Living without Christ is a bag with holes. And if you leave this morning empty, you need to check your bag. Do I have a bag with holes in it? As we prepare for a hymn invitation, Father, as we pray right now, there's somebody here this morning. Your Holy Spirit is working in their life. Please, Father, take my words, use them. Your Holy Spirit would just move in their life so that they would know which direction they need to go, the decisions they need to make. I don't know the answers, but dear Lord, you do. And dear Lord, you know if our church is stuck in a rut or if just our own personal lives are stuck in a rut. Father, if we're just letting our spiritual life lie barren like their foundation that they had over there, it's just nothing going on. Dear Lord, please wake us up. Help us to get our lives and our hearts back right with you, to abide in you, to walk with you, to listen to you. Father, I pray that we would not leave this church service this morning empty. We'll give it all to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we all stand. Whatever you need, come right now. You need to come pray at the altar.
In and out of situations, the tug of war at me.
Right where you're at.
All day
long. You know someone you need to pray for?
Struggle.
Are you thankful for someone? Do our kids, our grandkids need your prayers? Is there someone in this, in your family that you're concerned about? Don't put it into a bag with holes.
Just slip away and